No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot. That is me, along with Captain Ed. Well, no. No. Holy crap, I'm flying solo. God help you. Say a prayer, but I'll try to get you back to the home airport as safely as possible. But I guess I'm flying solo today. So luckily, I have some friends in the biz that I'm going to rely on to round out the Just Plane Radio crew today. We have Captain Dennis, who is a regular listener and a pilot, very capable. Let me fly with him the other day. Dennis, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good, but let's be clear. You ride with me.
Well, okay, whatever. I'll say co-pilot. I'm going to milk it for all it's worth. Also, if Dennis weren't enough, and unfortunately he's not.
And I'm not.
Yeah. We got from AOPA Live, Tom Haynes, the big man with us. Tom, how are you, buddy?
I'm well. How are you guys doing? Great to hear from you.
Well, I'm swell, but I'm flying solo, so I thank you guys helping me out today, because Ed and Keith deserted me. It isn't the first time, but what are you going to do? They got to take a break every now and then, and dry out, or I don't know. We'll just leave it at that till next week when they can defend themselves. But we have a full show to share with everybody today. But first, let's talk about me, because really, let's face it, that's what it's about, right, guys?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, right. the world according to Greg.
Yes. All right.
Just
so,
Greg Radio.
Hey, that does have a ring to it there, Dennis.
Here's your new program.
Yeah. Now, Dennis knows about this even more so than Tom, because he's going to join me on the Turks and Caicos in October for a big dive adventure we have planned with our scuba radio crew. However, I found out this week when I was starting to line up my airfare for that little adventure that the domestic carriers that fly in and out of Providenciales Airport for the Turks and Caicos, they're not cooperating with my plans to attend the Bruno Mars concert back in Orlando on October 14th. What am I going to do?
See, this is that part where it comes back to it's all about Greg. Everybody else is supposed to adopt and change their schedules to suit Greg.
All right. So, Bruno, if you're listening, could you postpone your concert by one day? Because I already bought the
tickets. That seems
perfectly
reasonable.
Yes, come
on.
That's
perfectly reasonable.
I figure you...
I can understand that.
You know, Tom being a bigwig in the industry, he knows all these Hollywood types. Maybe he can, put in a call to Bruno's people and have them talk and see if he can work that out.
Bruno who?
Yeah, okay. Or I could come up with another plan, maybe look into chartering a flight that would be more, cohesive or more, easy to make sure I get back in time for the show. As it is now, I could do it on a domestic carrier. American is flying in and supposedly could get me in like at 3 o'clock or so on Saturday, and the show is at night. But I'm not feeling real good about that. You hear what I'm saying, Tom? That doesn't...
That sounds like it's going to be pretty tight.
It's going to be tight. And I can't miss the first show or, first song or two. That just won't happen,
Not for Greg, no?
No way. I got to...
So it sounds like General Aviation to the rescue.
Well, I'm hoping. I need to pull in some, favors or do something here or just figure out what the heck to do. Now, I did text Keith because he has done this stuff in the past where... He's captain special charters, whether it's, to places in the Caribbean or wherever. And I said, hey, this is what I got to do. How much would it cost, you figure? And all he did, he texted me back $4 signs, which is, that's a bad sign when I'm trying to find a restaurant on my app, and it has the $4.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm thinking that doesn't sound good. And I didn't get much out of him other than that. So,
yeah, clearly that was a mistake. It shouldn't have been $4 signs. Should have been $5 or $6.
Five or six. Somewhere. It's just Turks and Caicos. It's like on the southern tip of the Bahamas. It's not that far. I mean, I don't know. Is it? Come on, Dennis. You're a pilot guy, too. You know where we're flying. But I know you already got your domestic airline ticket. So
yeah, I took care of mine, but I don't have a Bruno Mars concert to worry about, so I get home when I get home.
Yeah, okay.
So what about changing, instead of going all the way back to Orlando, why don't you go into Miami and then just drive?
Well, that's what I was going to do anyway, but it's the same problem. The flight out of Provo that Saturday doesn't leave until, like, I don't know. Well, it leaves early in the morning, but then you have to, fly back from Miami.
Well, I'm looking at it. There's a flight that leaves out of Provo at 8 a.m.
Yeah.
And gets in at 10 into Miami. So
right.
That gives you, what's the drive, 6 hours or less to Orlando from Miami?
5, which would get me in at 3 o'clock, same time as the flight would. You know, the first flight would get me back to Orlando at 3 p.m. So whether I drove or fly, it'd be the same time, you know, assuming they're on time. I mean, I guess if it wasn't on time, I could always hop in a rental car and make sure that I got to the Bruno show just in the nick of time. But I don't know. That seems like so much trouble. Wouldn't it be more fun just to charter a flight back?
It would. You know?
Yeah. So you're saying $5 or $6 signs, Tom. What does that translate into?
Each dollar sign is an aviation monetary unit, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I think so.
Which is an AMU. What is that? What it translates?
$1,000 U.S. dollars.
$1,000, so $4,000 was what Keith says, and you're saying $5 or $6 each way. Is that what you mean, Tom, or what do you think?
Well, I think it depends on the airplane. You know, we had earlier been talking about maybe King Air and loading up a bunch of people, and so there you're talking about thousands of dollars an hour.
Mm-hmm.
If you got a buddy that's got a single engine airplane. Who would be willing to do it and share costs? Well, of course, the person would have to be going on that trip to be legal. But you might find a charter company that has a single engine airplane that would do it, and then you might get it into only four digits of some sort.
Hmm. 4 digits, which we're talking like a couple grand, 2,000. I mean, you figure the airline ticket's going to cost me a grand.
More.
I could get first class for like $1,200.
But not when you want it. You know, this is when you want it.
Oh, man. Come on, Dennis. What are we going to do? You know someone,
well,
don't you?
Well, what about Captain Clay? We just need to convince him to bring the Saratoga down to the Turks.
Yeah.
Well, and then you could ride back with him.
Well, he's on the bubble, but I have a feeling he's going to make the decision at the last minute, which he can do because
he has a concert ticket to Bruno Mars. Now he's obligated to go.
I think that'll be an excuse for him not to go. I mean, or like he says, I'm going to purposely make sure you miss that show. I'm just guessing he's not a fan, just knowing his musical tastes. You know, and don't get me wrong, Bruno Mars, okay, but it's really, I'm doing this for my family. Okay, that's my cover.
Oh, okay.
It's not like
it's not all about Greg.
It's not like I'm going to a Taylor Swift concert like last year. Shush. Oh, gosh. I didn't mean to say that. Anyway, regardless, I got a conundrum on how to manage that. So it would have to be like a King Air. I couldn't do something smaller unless I found a private pilot like Dennis or Clay to fly down a Saratoga or something along those lines there, Tom, you think, or what?
There may be a couple of folks in Florida or the Bahamas that do charters in single-engine airplanes or even a light twin, like, you know, a Piper Seneca or a Seminole, something like that, Aztec.
Yeah.
Probably an Aztec. There's a lot of Aztecs banging around Bahamas.
Hmm.
You know, they've got a charter certificate, perhaps. They could work it out, and that would be less than a King Air, that's for sure, but you also wouldn't carry as much.
Well, true, yeah. But I'd have to put something out on the internet like, hey, single passenger looking for a flight for Turks and Caicos, travel light, looking for a cheap flight back to the States, perks available. And then that might get like Bubba calling up from the Bahamas like, I'll take you out. I want to, 50% of the cut.
Maybe El Chapo from somewhere in the South American nation.
Hey,
I've got room on my twin engine. It's going to be real low level. You won't have to worry about decompression.
Yeah, we got a little stopper. You're going to fly close to the water, but don't worry about that.
Right. And when I open the door, pay no attention.
Yeah, just delivering the mail.
Don't worry about those bales in the back. That's just luggage.
Okay. All right. Well, if anybody's listening who wants to do that track in October, reach out to me here at Just Plain Radio, and maybe we can work a deal. I got plenty of Just Plain Radio hats and shirts with your name on them if you'll give me a seat on your plane. Is that how it works, Tom, or no?
Yeah, the pilots fly all the time for hats.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe not. But I'll come up with something. I don't know. I got to figure out a plan here. But yeah, that's the one. The beauty of general aviation. Maybe. What? Hey, Dennis. You want to? You know? You want to buy an airplane? And we're going to talk about that today. So maybe we just buy one between now and then. You can use the October trip as like a, you know, like your demo flight or test flight or your 30 days to make your decision kind of thing. They'll let you do that, right? And then we'll get back.
Sure. We just have to come up with at least $40,000 between now and then.
That's what credit cards are for. I have a copy of Keith's credit card, too, on file.
Oh.
So okay, for that specific reason. And since he's not here, I think that's licensed to use it. I believe that's the legal definition of being able to, you know, scam from a friend, right? Or acquaintance, in Keith's case. We'll talk about that and more next on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
With Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Whoa, that's the craziest video game I've ever seen.
It's actually a flight simulator.
You learning how to fly?
I'm still learning how to fly.
Well, then you're in the right place. This is Just Plain Radio. I am Greg, your co-pilot. Helping me out to round out the crew today is Captain Dennis, and from AOPA Live, Mr. Tom Haynes. All right, so this is very convenient because Dennis, you know, he kind of needed to call Tom. You know, he talked to me this week. He said, look, I want to buy a plane. Maybe we can tie it into this October trip to the Turks and Caicos. We'll have to wait and see. We got several months to work with. However, you know, he's like, hey, you know, Tom, maybe you know, we can compare notes and he can give me some guidance on what to do. Because you already have an idea of what kind of plane you want to purchase. Am I right there, Dennis?
Well, that's really part of the decision process is what's the mission?
The mission is to fly me to the Turks and Caicos. So okay, you got to have something that will be able to carry myself, some dive gear, maybe another person or two. We'll let other people go. But,
and a reasonable speed if we're going to be going out over water. We don't want to be plodding along at 80 knots in a little float plane.
No, that would be, well, I don't know. The view would be nice.
The view would be great, but yeah. It's going to take a lot more than the 5-6 hours, a faster high-performance single retract or even something like a Cirrus would take.
Right. Well, Cirrus would be a nice option. Now, Clay.
Cirrus is on my wish list.
Okay. Now, Clay has the Saratoga, but you were saying last week when I talked to you about this, you said you feel that's going to be too much of an airplane that you want to go after.
Well, it would be the ideal airplane for me, but I think from a dollar standpoint to acquire it, it might be a lot more than I want to pay. And also the upkeep on it is going to be a lot more. It's got a much bigger engine. And Tom, that's you know about that. It's probably the same size engine in your Bonanza, and they get a little thirsty.
Hmm.
They do. Absolutely.
So what do you think, Tom? Should he go with the Cirrus route or look at a Saratoga, or are both of those going to be a little too pricey for what he's thinking? What do you think?
Well, it depends a lot. I always tell people, you know, you got to get the mission right first. So the Saratoga and the Cirrus are kind of different airplanes in that Saratoga is a great hauling airplane. There's retractable gear versions and there's fixed gear versions. And the fixed gear ones are actually pretty good backcountry airplanes.
Yeah.
Six seats.
It's like a Cherokee, right? Cherokee?
Yeah. Well, a big Cherokee with six seats. And so they're kind of a pickup truck and a lot of fun to fly. I've got a lot of time in a retractable Saratogas. And you can haul anything, but they're not real fast.
Mm-hmm.
Cirrus is a much faster airplane, but it doesn't haul nearly as much, and it's not as good kind of backcountry, or if you're landing on rough fields or anything like that, it's not as useful there.
What about the Bonanza? So like you have a Bonanza, right?
Well, I gotta say, you know, the Bonanza is about the best airplane out there, particularly from a crossover standpoint. It's got a good sturdy gear, so it's pretty good actually on relatively rough fields for a retractable gear airplane.
Yeah,
it's also a good hauler, particularly the older ones like mine. You know, I've got over 900 pounds of useful load with full fuel. And six seats, so it hauls a lot. It's faster than a Saratoga, but it's also more expensive to initially purchase. You know, from an upkeep standpoint, they're probably fairly comparable.
Hey, what are you doing in October, Tom? You want to go to the Turks and Caicos?
Why did I know that was coming?
I know people. We could get you in there, and it'd be a great trip. You'd enjoy it immensely.
And Greg's an instructor. He'd teach you how to scuba dive if you'd already certified.
I don't push it. but I know people that would hook you up. No, hey, we can get you out on the boat that we're going out on.
Well, yeah. You know, we should talk. All
right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Captain Clay might be out there. If he knew Tom was coming out, maybe he'd want to make sure he joined us as well. Yeah. The thing keeping him away from going on that trip right now is me. So,
well, that's understandable.
Yeah. Well, we could act as a buffer, though.
Yeah. Okay, true. anyway, I don't know.
So get the mission right. I mean, do you need a big airplane that hauls six... You know, five or six people or a lot of gear, the big double doors on the back?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you want to go faster and you don't need to carry that much stuff?
Yeah.
And that's exactly the dilemma that I have right now because, you know, I have a family of four and we'd like to go do things as a family trip and be able to haul dive gear. That would mean that we need the Saratoga. Yeah. But I also want to get there in a reasonable amount of time. And my wife doesn't do well in anything that involves motion sickness. So she'd rather just stay home anyway, so maybe it's just me and the kids. Now we can dump useful load, get something a little faster.
You and the kids and me. Let's not forget about your
co-pilot. Right. I forgot. This is all about Greg. Never mind.
No. I'll stand in for your wife when you want to go on some of these adventures. Come on, Dennis.
Sounds reasonable.
That sounded
like
really weird.
You need a Bonanza.
I need a Bonanza. I was looking at a Mooney, an older M20E that seemed pretty reasonable. The acquisition cost was quite low, and yet it's still got a decent useful load, and it does about 160 knots. So now that's making cross-country trips from Minnesota down to the warmer climates in a reasonable amount of time.
Mm.
Yeah, okay. Check out the back seats, though. Put your kids in the back seats before you make the decision, because I was looking at one of those, too, and my kids were just little at the time, and, boy, it was cramped even for them in the back seats.
Really? Okay.
Yeah,
so
the newer Moonies are longer body and have a lot more room.
Hmm. Well, now, the Bonanza, though, how does it cost, compare, say, to the Saratoga and the Mooney, though? What do you think, Tom?
Well, equivalent years, the Bonanza will be the more expensive of the lot. But they also retain their value really well. And they're good, solid airframes. You're not going to spend a lot on airframe maintenance, but the others are too. So
yeah.
The Mooney will burn less fuel, so it's more economical, but it's also a smaller airplane. But you're going faster at the same time. So, you know, there are lots of variables. And that's the interesting thing about shopping for airplanes is, you know, you really can dive into the numbers and get really engrossed in it. But the important thing to remember is, at the end of the day, does it meet your mission? Because if it doesn't meet your mission, then why bother? And so the alternative is, you know, partnership. That's, you can cut your costs in half by finding a super partner, which I'm actually working on a story for AOPA right now about what's it take to find a good partner, what are the characteristics of a good partner. And then the other one is a flying club, although there's less flexibility normally with a flying club.
Well, and I'm already in the flying club, so I've already got that. I have access to a 172 and a Cardinal RG. However, you're looking at, you know, having to pay an hourly rate on the flying club and booking the airplane out for, you know, several days, you know, for a longer trip. It makes it a little bit less convenient than just, hey, we're going to go and just pump gas in the tank and be done with it.
Huh. So the other alternative is to actually just get a partner as opposed to being in a flying club. Just buy this plane together with two people. Is that what you're saying?
Two or three people. And you all agree that, you know, whatever, you get a certain number of hours a year, a certain number of weekends a year. And, you know, you've got to agree on the costs and that sort of thing. But there's more flexibility, as Dennis said, than a flying club where you've got a lot of people sort of hanging on the need for the airplane. And it's more difficult to take it on longer trips.
Yeah. Mini club. What do you think there, Dennis? I never thought about that option.
An option for the right partner.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to find a couple of the members of my flying club, the ones that, you know, pay their dues every year but don't fly. Those would be the ideal partner.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course. Well, have you met any of those up there yet? Or have you even thought about that option yourself?
We've talked about it. A couple of the guys in the club right now have said, oh, yeah, if you ever do, you know, I'll be your first partner. I said, you're perfect because you haven't flown in a year.
Well, there you go. Get him and tell him you know this guy down in Florida that does a radio show that'd be interested in being a partner as well. And you guys split it, and I'll be a consultant partner or something. Isn't that how it works? Silent partner? I don't know. One of those that I don't have to pay as much. We'll work out something.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Dennis. And Tom Haynes from AOPA Live is with us as well today to help me out as I fly solo through the latest aviation news and information. So, there's been a lot of stuff going on with the Santa Monica Airport. We've covered it for a couple years now, but it's finally come to a head. We talked about this last week where they've come up with an agreement with the city to keep it open for how many years, Tom? What's the deal?
Keep it over for 12 years. However, they have the right, after submitting a plan to the FAA, to shorten the runway from about 5,000 feet to 3,500 feet, which will really knock out a lot of the bigger airplanes that land there.
Yeah, or me. You know, no telling how much room I'm going to need if I ever want to fly in there. So they need to keep it longer. You hear what I'm saying? For the sake of their local residents. You know, because that'd be a place I'd love to fly someday. I think that'd be a beautiful place to fly into. So, you know, there's definitely some, you know, upset people about this, even though they've come up with the agreement to keep it longer. But the shortening the runway is a problem for jets and corporate travel, which I guess explains why the NBA's filed a lawsuit against it or something, or what'd they do?
Yeah, the NBAA, National Business Aviation Association, has filed a lawsuit to basically have a judge overturn the settlement agreement. Meanwhile, AOPA is really focused on working with the FAA to make sure that the city lives up to the agreement. So here's the deal. Last week, the city officials, right after they signed and agreed to this settlement, several city officials, including the mayor, held a press conference, basically a rally, that where they said that their primary goal now was going to be to do everything they can to make the airport an unpleasant place to be to drive down traffic. So what does that say about a person when you agree to the terms in good faith of a settlement that requires you to operate this airport, you know, in a competitive kind of way, that then the next day after you sign that, you're out saying, you know, hey, we're going to do whatever we can to screw these people over. What's that say about a person?
I think that's the definition of a political weasel.
I think so.
Yeah. That's not how we like to operate. We'll dive more into this next. Stay close to Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
What's rattling back there?
I don't know what this thing is.
Mic controls. Roger that. Is that tow bar come loose?
Well, I don't know. Is this the tow bar?
Yeah, that's it.
Sorry, I got it. Peanut brittle. Could this day get any better?
No! Oh,
God.
No!
Get the tow bar off!
No! No, it's stuck between the seat!
I got it!
Oh!
Stay with us, Gus! Oh, my God, those cheekbones. You look like JFK Jr. Oh! He looks like JFK Jr.!
I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, put it on autopilot! Put it on autopilot!
There is no autopilot. This is a lawnmower with wings.
Well, you fly remote control planes. Do what you do there!
I crash them! That's why I buy all the time! Oh! I was wrong. I don't want to die this way. Oh, I'll settle for a nice, boring death at ground level.
Well, technically, we will be dying at ground level!
I got it! Okay. We're good.
All right, just so you know, I completely kept my cool through that whole thing.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Dennis. And from AOPA, we have Tom Haynes. Check him out weekly on AOPALive.org. And, all right, so we got this Santa Monica Airport thing going on. The NBAA, National Business Aviation Association, has filed a lawsuit to challenge the agreement. Is that what's going on, Tom?
Yeah, they're basically asking a judge to overturn it.
They want it overturned because, you know, the guy said, okay, or that was the mayor that said that, okay, now we're going to try to make it miserable for anybody who wants to fly in there.
And, yeah, that's not the reason NBAA filed the suit. They're filing it just because they want to get it stopped. I mean, but then I think it's just, you know, says a lot about the character of the city officials when they agree to something in good faith and then are immediately looking at ways to short-circuit the settlement that they just agreed to by making it difficult for people to operate out of there.
Yeah.
And making, you know, talking about having security checks for every airplane that comes through, requiring them to be inspected, and putting up, you know, plexiglass around the viewing area of the ramp so that, you know, you can't really see the ramp area and that sort of thing. It's crazy.
It's like the
talking about doing
HOA from hell or something, you know?
Yeah, kind of.
They don't want to be very good neighbors. I mean, what is the real, you know, beef with the local residents against why they don't like the airport? Do you know? Is there one thing or what?
Well, it's the typical things around airport is, you know, is noise. Mm-hmm. And they're making a lot of noise, so to speak, out there about emissions, which is completely bogus. There is no true data that supports the idea that emissions from the airplanes are impacting the neighborhoods. Certainly not when you got the 405 running right by, I think,
exactly.
one of the big freeways running right off the end of the runway.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about emissions, come on. So, but really, the bottom line is the city of Santa Monica has done a lousy job of land use planning around the airport, and they've allowed homes to be built right off the end of both runways and right up to the sides. And as a result, people are too close to the airplanes, and they're understandably, to a certain point, they're complaining about the noise and the proximity to the airplanes. Yet they bought their houses there inexpensively because they're near the airport, and now right. They're saying, we don't want to be close to the airport anymore, so you should get rid of the airport. Of mm-hmm. course, their property values are going to go up as a result, and so there's a lot of, you know, debate about, you know, some sort of investment scam, too, that you knew what you were getting into, and your housing pricing reflected that.
Yeah, interesting. Well, yeah, there's so many ways that they could go about this to make it a win-win, I think, for the area, but for whatever reason, yeah. You got some people with something up their butt that don't seem to like it, and they're making it pretty miserable for the aviators. I mean, what do you feel about the lawsuit thing? You think they're going to be successful, or do you have any, you know, feeling one way or another personally?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I haven't read the reasoning in their lawsuit about why they're saying that the judge should nullify the settlement. You know, I think we're looking at the 12 years as an opportunity. At least now we know that it's not going to close in 12 years, or for the next 12 years at least. And hopefully we can turn around this, city council and get some more aviation-friendly folks elected. And maybe we can keep the airport open longer than that. The problem is we may lose the portion of the runway between now and then because they do have the right to close that once they submit a plan to the FAA. So a lot of challenges. I think it will be lucky to keep it open past 12 years, I got to tell you.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I saw the interview. You spoke with the guy from the FAA about this.
Yeah.
And it was about that question. Yeah, after 12 years, what do you think will happen? And he said something to the effect of, well, I have no comment. Or something like that. He didn't want to answer it. Or is am I right? Am
I? Yeah, I mean, the city has said their plan is to close it, and unless we can change the texture of the city council, that's probably what's going to happen. So we really need the pilots in Santa Monica to step up and agree to run for office. And it's going to be a lot of opposition if it's known that they're favorable to the airport. There's going to be a lot of opposition to that. But hey, we can overcome that.
Yeah.
Well, is it a lot of opposition, or is it a very vocal minority that's well funded for the opposition?
Well, there's this. Yeah, certainly a certain amount of that. There's. I would say it's based on the polling we've seen. It's about half the community believes that the airport is a problem, and then the other half, it's actually about a third, I guess, as I recall. It's been a while since I looked at the data, but a third of them are opposed, a third of them are pretty neutral, and a third of them are relatively favorable toward the airport.
Okay.
So there's certainly opportunity there.
The third that have been real negative against the airport have been more politically savvy, it sounds like, over the last few years. Is that fair, you think?
Yeah, and they're the ones that live nearest the airport and have the most to gain from a financial standpoint if it closes. Of course, the city has said that, we're going to turn it into a park. Well, yeah, you believe that? Mm-hmm. You know, they're not going to have developers in there in a heartbeat. It's the most valuable open piece of land in all of Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to get developed.
Yeah, all right.
There'll be a dog park in the corner somewhere.
All right, pilots.
It'd be a shame if that became a new approach into LAX or a new practice area, you know, at that point, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would be. For aerobatics,
a
practice box right over the city.
Well, there's one talking point.
Be careful what you wish for. You might get it, right?
Yeah. That's right. A political pilot could run on that, maybe. I don't know. But, you pilots out there in Cali, you need to get on a ball, get involved. That's how you make things change, and sometimes you got to defend your rights yourself. I mean, AOPA can only do so much. It's a group effort for sure. Now, on a similar type of slant with this, I mean, we got a situation down in West Palm. I was talking about this last week with President Trump flying in and creating all kinds of havoc with the air schools down there. What are you hearing along those lines on your news front there, Tom? What do you think?
Well, it's really devastating for many of the airports down there, particularly Lantana Airport, which is just on the north side. And they're completely shut down. They have zero operations whenever the president is in Florida or at Palm Beach. So AOPA staff, regulatory staff, is trying to get a meeting with some of the security agencies to talk about, you know, is there any relief that we can provide to that little airport and others to try to give them some operations when the president's in town, because he is there frequently, and it looks like he's going to be there frequently. So if my guess is we'll lose those businesses if we can't get them some relief.
Well, this isn't like a new thing. I mean, Ed and Keith have the flight school here in Orlando and had to deal with Obama coming to Orlando quite a bit in the last few years, especially during campaign season, and shutting down their business. They couldn't fly when he would come to town. And, you know, there's no way to avoid that. But it's not like a new problem. Have they come up with exemptions for flight schools and things like that to work in this capacity in the past, or is this a relatively recent problem that flight schools and businesses like that have had to deal with? What do you think?
Well, it's relatively recent in that it's really since 9/11.
Yeah.
Prior to 9/11, when President Clinton and President Bush and Reagan and everybody else moved around, there was not a 30-mile TFR that followed them around. Mm. And so businesses were not impacted at nearly as much as they are today. Worst case was that maybe there was a shutdown of operations whenever Air Force One was in motion, for example.
Right.
And that would be a matter of minutes to an hour or two. But once it was on the ground and everybody was away from the airplane, voila, business, you know, open for business again. But after 9/11, all that changed, as a lot of other things in our lives changed. So we've had some success up in Cape Cod when President Obama used to go up there on vacation, and also in Hawaii where he went a couple of times a year.
Right.
We've had some success in getting some relief for some airports that are a little bit further away from the center. The problem with Lantana is it is within the inner circle of the temporary flight restriction, and the security agencies have been not at all interested in talking about relief yet. But we're going to keep working on them. You know, hopefully we could get to President Trump. He's a businessman, right?
Well, he has a plane, he should be a little more sensitive to this whole thing, I'm guessing.
You would think, yeah.
Yeah, so they'll keep working on it. We got more coming up on Just Plain Radio. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Scuba diving is an activity for all ages. However, immersion alone can be a stressor on the heart and circulatory system. I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll tell you how to stay heart healthy as you dive next. Scuba
Radio. This scuba tip is brought to you by Dan, Divers Alert Network. Dan helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the Dan Hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join Dan today by going to dan.org. Dan, your dive safety association.
Nearly one-third of diving fatalities are associated with an acute cardiac event. Maintain your healthy heart with proper diet and exercise, monitoring your blood pressure, glucose, and cholesterol levels, and adhering to any treatment measures prescribed by your physician is crucial. Even if you've had an event, like myself, after some time and clearance from a physician, you can still safely dive. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Hey, I'm Scott Fitzgerald. You probably don't recognize me because I'm in corporate.
So am I. This is corporate.
Little too much so, if you ask me. I try to have fun, right? I mean, you know, we're not landing planes here.
Our company manufactures aircraft landing gear systems.
Yep. Uh-huh. Well, I am going to fly us over a few more drinks.
I'm just sitting out here watching airplanes take off.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Dennis. And from AOPA, we have Tom Haynes. All right, so this past Tuesday was, of course, Valentine's Day. And, you know, Tom was telling me that, hey, did you check out the website? We had this cool story on AOPA.org about what this couple that met each other in the airplane or flying or what happened exactly, Tom? What do you think?
Yeah, a couple, and you know they're older, you know, in their 60s,
yeah.
And they met. They're both pilots, and they met at an airport up in Massachusetts, and their lives intersected a couple of times, running into each other at this airport, including at an AOPA fly-in back in 2014 that we had at Plymouth Municipal Airport up in Massachusetts. They ended up each deciding to volunteer and ran into each other once again at that airport, and in
wow.
the end led to a date and a flight together, and one thing led to another, and ultimately they got married at the airport not long ago, and so they're happily flying together. They each came to the marriage with an airplane, and now they're deciding, you know, whose are they keeping, and
yeah. Who has the better one,
or are they buying a new one or keeping both or whatever. So just the challenges of being a pilot couple. But it was kind of a nice Valentine's Day story about
that
these
is.
Two pilots catching up with each other at the airport.
Well, that's very nice. Did they actually meet each other at one of the AOPA fly-ins too?
They had actually met at the airport a time or two before, but it was really when they started hanging out together as when they were volunteering
yeah.
for our fly-in, and that's where it really got them connected. And
that's when the magic happened. I can understand. You guys kind of set up that whole bachelor type of vibe at some of these things. It
yeah.
could happen. You know, maybe you ought to start soliciting it like that, you know?
That's soliciting?
Well, yeah, maybe that's not the right word to use.
Modify the AOPA app to have a Tinder function to it. You
ooh,
know, swipe
there
left.
You go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? But
just think of our average demographic on that. I don't know.
Well, you know, but at least you know they're all pilots, right?
Well, and you wouldn't use their face or profile. You just use their plane.
Picture of the airplane, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
How many hours?
I'll swipe left on that.
How big is your hangar?
Yeah. Park that in this garage. No, I'm
okay.
All right. So, but that is nice. That's one of the many benefits that, you know, you never know. You might, you know, meet someone that has the same kind of, you're definitely going to meet somebody who has the same type of, interest in those activities if you go to one of these AOPA fly-ins. I think the first one this year is when? May?
It's at the end of April, April 28, 29, in Camarillo, California. So
okay.
We'll look forward to everybody coming out and enjoying the day and volunteering, because we need some volunteers at Camarillo. So, you know, if you're single and you're in Southern California somewhere, here's your chance to meet like-minded folks.
Yeah. And that couple that got together, so you haven't heard yet if they're going to keep one of their planes or buy a new one.
Well, the story describes that they're in that great debate now. In fact, as I understand it, they have bought a 172, but that one they're fixing up. But I think she has another 172, and he had another airplane, and they're debating now which one are they going to have to part with.
Hmm.
I think it's,
well, they could let Greg use it in the meantime
until
they figure out how they're going to dispose of it. So.
Yeah.
True. Well, that would definitely be one way to dispose of it. You hear what I'm saying?
Right.
But yeah, I resemble that option.
Yeah, so sure. I mean, lots of romantic moments in airplanes. You know, one I remember for myself was my wife, we'd been married like 9 years or so, and she planned this weekend getaway for us up in the Poconos, and, mm-hmm. and it was in the wintertime,
yeah.
Late winter. So we went up and had a wonderful weekend, and while we were there, she told me, we flew up there, she told me that she was pregnant with our first child.
Oh, wow. How about that?
And so that was very exciting. And so, but interestingly, when we're flying back from this trip, and that's, you know, it's a trip of about, less than an hour, so not very long. But it was wintertime, and there was some clouds around, but it wasn't like icing or anything. But I was petrified, because all of a sudden, now I feel this great responsibility for this person sitting next to me, because she's carrying our child.
Ah, yes.
And so I'm worried now about making, you know, this flight safe, and every cloud was somehow, you know, a menace, and that there was going to be icing in it, and we were all going to die.
Yeah. Honey, I didn't really care about this when it was just you.
Right.
But now...
I'll bet that was the smoothest landing you've ever made.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But it was amazing how just on a dime like that, your whole, you know, point of view on life can change, I gotta tell you.
Dennis had shared this story a few weeks ago on the show, where you had this couple that actually proposed in their airplane and dive bombed and made zero gravity so the ring would float across to her or something like that, right?
Yeah, that was my flight instructor from many years ago. He met his wife, and to propose to her, he actually took her up in the plane, and they went out to get dinner at a resort not far away, and along the way, he basically opened the ring box and pushed the nose of the airplane over to get the ring to float across the cockpit, and that's how he presented her the ring to ask her to marry him.
So she got the ring, and he spewed all over the windshield or something.
No problems with that. She just had a tough stomach and is still with him now, God, 25-plus years later. So
yeah. I don't know.
Good for them.
I guess you could still do that, but people don't really recommend that kind of activity, I'm guessing. Am I right, Tom, or do you know?
Well, not on the first flight, okay? We don't recommend that the first flight.
Second date.
Yeah, maybe second. Or before dinner, not after dinner.
Okay, true. Well, I don't know. You would never forget it if they did spew. honey, what do you say? Yes. Bleh, you know, and then, you know, it'd be one of those stories you could share with the grandchildren. If not a floating ring and zero gravity is enough. But that's just my way of twisted thinking, I guess. But there's always interesting little twists you can work aviation into your relationships. And whether it's Valentine's Day or any other day of the year, you ought to take advantage of that. You guys would agree with me. This is a way to work your passion into your passion, I guess, right?
That's right. There passion into passion. I like
that. Yeah, something like that. All right. And on that note, we'll end it. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning
to fly.
Just Plain Radio is brought to you by JustPlainRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site for Morbid.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plain Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlainRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plain Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plain Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlainRadio.com.